Title of today's message has nothing to do with the calendar. As you know, I don't preach the calendar. I don't preach electionary. I just feel like God lays things on my heart, and oftentimes there's confirmation. And so I'm encouraged today to share what I feel like in the beginning. Like Sue mentioned, I felt like this was just for me, but as I pursued it, I have realized it was more than just for me. I believe it's what the Spirit is speaking to Church on the Rock, and perhaps beyond. So the title of today's message is Father. And as I mentioned, it has nothing to do with in a couple weeks here. It's Father's Day. Listen, 2 Corinthians 6:18 and 2 Samuel 7:14. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And I pray right now, hallelujah, that Father, by the Holy Spirit, Lord, you would bring understanding, Lord, beyond the intellect. Father, that it would pierce down into the inner man, and Lord, that we would get a greater grasp of you as our Father. Lord, that we might know you as Father. Lord, that it be beyond what we've previously experienced. Hallelujah. Okay, so the natural points toward the heavens. And for example, we have the temple, husbands and wives are example of heavenly things. Even creation itself points toward God. So 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Way back in the Hebrew times, God spoke and said, I want you to build a tabernacle. And so each little pillar, each little post, everything about this tabernacle symbolized something. It was pointing toward a heavenly thing, a heavenly principle. And the same is true with the temple. That the things in the temple, the design of the temple, the how high this was, and all these specific things point toward heavenly things. And just allow for a moment the idea of how awesome God is to write through history the Word of God. How awesome is God that when he spoke to Moses and said, I want the tent wall to be this high, that it meant something. I want the door to be this wide, that it would mean something to you and me in our daily walk today. That God is able to do that through history, and that it would mean something. In Ephesians 5:31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, that the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That when God designed marriage, it wasn't just so that you and I can just be these happy couples flitting around on the earth and living in the garden, you know. That it was pointing towards something that God had in mind before the foundation of the world, of the church being the bride of Christ and Christ being the bridegroom. And that marriages are supposed to speak of a heavenly thing. Remember, the gift is against, the strategy of the devil is against the gift of God. God gave these things, and so the devil is against that. He's got a strategy against it to mar the reputation or to distract or whatever it is, so that that people, who the observers, won't comprehend. They won't get the heavenly thing. Because why? The devil wants to keep humanity in the darkness. He wants to keep us ignorant. But too bad for him. God sent the light. Amen. Romans 1:20. Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, because they are understood through the things God has made, so that humans are without excuse. All of creation is pointing toward heavenly things. Our Father. God wants to be our Father and has clearly communicated that He has sent His one and only begotten Son to become the way for us to be adopted into God's family. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then also in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So how many believe that there are people out there who are fatherless? And that who want a father, who need a father, and God is there wanting to be their father so much that He sent His one and only begotten Son to provide the way for them to be a father to them, for provide for them a way to be adopted into God's family. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So God gave fathers on this earth as an example, just as the temple was an example, just as the husbands and wives are an example, just as creation is an example to point towards heavenly things, God gave a natural father to point us toward a heavenly principle, which is God wants to be our Father. Amen? So God gave us fathers as to be an example and to lead us into that relationship. How many believe that God gave parents to children to help children realize and understand what it is like to be under authority and to be disciplined and to be set up to launch into their future and to be blessed in their future? God gave parents as an example for that. So some of us have been privileged with good dads. They have shown us what God is like through their teaching and their behavior. For example, my dad has been a great dad as an example of what it's like with a father-son relationship, what my relationship with God is like. God, my natural dad revealed to me much of it, probably even unintentionally, revealed to me what it's like to be in a relationship with God the Father. My dad disciplined me. He did not let me get away. He did not let me do whatever I wanted. He brought me under subjection. Right? There are rules to be, you know, abided by when I lived in his house. Guess what? When I ran away and I went and did my own thing because I couldn't live under his rules and I screwed up and I said, you know what? It was better off back at my dad's house. He received me back, not just once, but many times, in that revealing God's nature to me, so that now, when I am in a relationship with my heavenly Father, I have this, because of what my natural dad has done, when I blow it, when I get off track, I can go back to my heavenly Father. And if my natural dad received me back, how much more will my heavenly Father receive me back? I was blessed in that. Some others of us might not have known our dad, or even worse, have had a dad that hurt our opinion of fathers. There are many people in this world today who don't even know their natural dad. They have not been brought up in an environment where they knew their natural dad, and in some cases they knew their natural dad and it hurt their opinion of what a father is. Many believe the strategy of the devil is against the gift of God. The devil is out there to destroy humanity's opinion of fathers. So how do you view God? This is a quote off of the internet by Bill Galtry. Our image or concept of God is the most important thing about us. It determines our relationship with God, others, and ourselves. Many people we talk to need healing in their image of God. Do you? Your answer to this question will tell you, can you look back over your whole life and say, my Father, God, has always been good to me? Take a minute here and just consider that question. Can you look back over your entire life and say that my Father God has always been good to me? The first image that's come into my mind is, what about a survivor of the Holocaust? What about the survivor of someone who has experienced a tragedy in their life, that tragedy so impacted you that it caused you to question, at that moment, where was God? Why didn't God? And it's, we're going, and I believe that, see, I firmly believe, my family, that we are going deeper. We're going deeper into our relationship with God, and individually and corporately, and we're going deeper into relationships with one another. And we are not unaware of the schemes of the adversary. The adversary is out there. He's trying to have little attachments in our soul that will be divisive, that will cause divisions, and will, even if it's subtle. Because the deeper you go, the more subtle he has to be. In the beginning, it's easy, you know, to be aware, oh, there's... But we're going into, and if we will value what's important to God, that Jesus prayed, Father, that they be one as you and I are one. Okay, so I really feel like this word is all about relationships. It's about our relationship with God and about our relationship with one another. And that the more aware we are, and you know me, you've known me for a long time, I'm not the type of person who's like, oh, did your daddy spank you? Oh, you know, I just don't tend to go down those roads, but I'm also aware that every soul is different. Just because I'm not profoundly impacted by the way that my natural father spanked me, I can't be ignorant to the idea that you might be injured, and you might be carrying around a wound in your soul that's actually hindering your relationship with your Heavenly Father or your relationship with someone else. I have to be willing to go there with the Holy Spirit right now and say, Lord, among us and among the people who are listening to this message right now, is there a wound in our soul that we need to be healed of? Is there a memory of something that we really haven't gotten resolved? If you need to be healed, it can happen in the twinkle of an eye. This morning, right now, in the hearing of this message. How many believe you can be struck with a lightning bolt? How many believe that if you realize it right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that I've been carrying around a wound, that my soul has been injured by a father or a father figure? How many believe that people in positions of authority are father figures? That what they've said, either intentionally or unintentionally, and I want to right now confess to you that, or apologize to you if there's anything that I have ever done, either word or deed, that has hurt you, your soul, I apologize for that, because there's a heaviness on me right now, a seriousness of the idea of being a father figure, or the idea of a wound in your soul that will hinder your relationship with God. Because we know about engagement, we know about being able to engage, and if your soul is injured, you will never be able to fully engage with your Heavenly Father as He wants you to. So we're going deep here. We're allowing the Holy Spirit. And I just apologize to you if there's anything that I have done. Hallelujah. And if we have been wounded, that in the twinkling of an eye, by the Holy Spirit, we can be healed. I told you about the man whose son was, they were in prison camps. In Russian prison camps. under communist oppression. His son was in a separate prison camp in one of the guards, and he was beaten, his teeth were knocked out, he was beaten up all the time, and the prison guards cruelly told him that his son was dying in another prison camp, and they would not let him go be with his son in his last hours. The man was oppressed, he was wounded in his soul. But we invited him to come to a meeting with us, and the man had a dark cloud around him when we met him. But later on that night, there was, I forget how many nations there, all worshiping God in their own tongue. And we later on, you're walking around in this euphoria, and I saw this giant circle of men all dancing as the Hebrews do. They were dancing and worshiping God. That man was in that circle, and I barely recognized him. His countenance was shining, his toothless smile, and he's just like rejoicing. God can heal your soul. The most difficult thing that a human being ever encountered that injures your soul beyond your hope or belief that could be repaired, he is able to do it. There are parents who have lost children. There are siblings who lost siblings. There are children who lost parents. There's these wounds. And the most tragic of them are authority figures wounding the souls of people that they have authority over. Abuse of power, tyrannical attitudes. And so we could be instantaneously healed, but how many of you believe that it also may be a process? God may supernaturally deliver you and heal you of your wound, but it also may be a process. You may have to walk with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I feel like you're speaking to me right now, that I feel like there's a soul injury, but I don't even know what it is. Would you show me? There's something deep, it's something so painful that I've managed to hide it away and cover it up, but those soul injuries are like a splinter. They may be able to be buried for a while, but where we're going, God wants us to be complete. He wants us to be whole. Where we're going, those things will fester. Amen. They'll fester at the most inopportune times. And so what we want is allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us through a process. And go through the process. Be courageous. I just release courage on us all right now to go through the process of being healed deep down in our soul. We may be required by the Holy Spirit to do something that we can't imagine. Release forgiveness. Not understanding how, but trusting the Holy Spirit. Remember the paraclete? The paraclete is someone who comes along your side. When you get on track with God, when you have revelation from the Lord, our Heavenly Father, and you say, Lord, I don't know how I can forgive that person. I don't know how I can forgive that authority figure. I don't know how I can forgive my natural dad. I don't know how I can forgive myself. But you want to. That's when you see the Holy Spirit come in like a flood and enable you. He puts his hands on alongside of your hands and enables you, hallelujah, to do what you couldn't do by yourself. It takes time and a lot of hard work to develop any relationship, including our relationship with God. And many give up on it before they ever experience the wonderful benefits of that relationship. The devil's out there to try to prevent this from happening. New believers don't get to experience the full benefits yet. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a process. Don't give up. Too many people give up on the basics because they become law, or because they're too difficult, or it's too hard, and they give up. Some of them still going through the motions of going to church, not going to worship. See the difference? And they give up but are still going through the motions. So those are the chronic difficulties. Those are the ones who are in chronic difficulty. They're going to church. They're tithing. I'm tithing. I don't understand why I'm tithing and I'm still broke. I don't understand why I'm tithing and I still have to pay these taxes. They're doing it as a law. And oftentimes then when they don't get what they expect, they give up on it. So you tithe for 5 weeks and you don't win the lotto. It's hard. It's hard. Any relationship is hard. There are bumps in the road. God doesn't act the way you want him to act. You don't get the benefits of deep understanding and revelation when you're reading the Word of God that you can go share words with each other. You're still like, I don't get it. What does it mean, turn the other cheek? You know what I mean? So you give up on it. You give up and you just go through the motions. But anyone who perseveres yes. in any relationship, you begin, and I've been doing this since 1991 now, I'm beginning to experience some amazing benefits of my relationship with God. I am not a perfect example or a perfect representation of his heart yet, but I want you to know that that's what I am aiming for. And as I'm moving in that direction, I get to experience some amazing stuff. The devil's out there tempting us with other stuff, but whatever he has to offer, how many believe that his idea of getting us off track in the beginning when you're a young Christian, he stands there with a big pitchfork and says, you're not going to go to church today, you're sick. You're not going to go to church today because you have no money to put in your gas tank. You're not going to go to... So he stands there in opposition. But when you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, he switches gears and starts to become the dazzling salesman. Tries to lure you off track with other things. You're going to be famous. You're going to have a big ministry. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Get you off track. Whatever he can do. If he can't directly oppose you, then he'll try to get you off track. Or we've heard other people say, push you into emotional extremes. So let's just not be oblivious to the strategy of the devil. But it's been my experience that any time I've taken the bait and went for the bowl of lentils, it's been a less than. It's been less than. No matter how big, how many of you have ever experienced this? When the devil's holding that fruit in front of you, it is so appealing that you're willing to give up your birthright for it. And how many have done it? I have. Said, man, that thing, I've got to go there. I've got to do this. And you do it and thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace that he is a good father. I blew it. I can't believe I did that. Father, I'm coming back to you. I'm willing to start at the bottom rung again and I'll work my way back. Hallelujah. And how many times has God made me go to the bottom rung? Never. He hasn't by his mercy and grace. I don't know why. I'm willing to. I'll start at the bottom again. But it's just like he forgives me. So much so I'm scared. I'm afraid that I might take another get off track again because I'm afraid that every time he forgives me that I'll just take it for granted. Thank God for his Holy Spirit in me to just bring revelation of what's important and what's truth. It's so important, isn't it? My relationship with God is just growing and becoming more intimate. There was one time I wanted to do the right thing for the anointing. I was afraid if I did the wrong thing that I wouldn't have an anointing. First, I just wanted an anointing. How many want to be anointed when you become a Christian? You want to give a word. You want to play the guitar. You want to be famous in the body of Christ. You know what I mean? It's okay to be there. God uses that stuff to bring us along in our maturity, in our relationship. I wanted to be anointed. And then I realized that I was anointed sometimes. I was able to share words like, that was the Lord. I'd share a word and you'd get the positive feedback. I'm like, yes, I was used by God. This is awesome. I was anointed, you know? And then you're like, oh, can't do anything wrong because I might lose that anointing. My experience is I've done stuff wrong, sometimes not even by accident. I consciously chose to do the wrong thing. And some of those times, I've never been more anointed. The gifts of God are without repentance. That's the scary thing. Some people go, oh, they're anointed. They must be in right standing, you know. It's a scary thing, but that's where we're going. We're not happy to just do the right things because of the anointing. We honestly want to please our Father. It's not if you're anointed or not anointed or do it. It's all about, Lord, I just want to live with you. I want to pull weeds. I want to do whatever it is, play guitar or sing or preach. I want to do it for the purpose of putting a smile on my Father's face. And that's where we go from glory to glory. We start out, God, it's okay to be superficial when you're a baby. It's okay. We're babies. Babies are superficial. I want milk. You know what I mean? But as we grow, he continues to raise the bar. Hallelujah. All right. In any case, we all need to have an accurate perception of God, the Father. If we don't, we won't ever be able to engage with our Heavenly Father and receive the amazing benefits of that relationship. And like I just mentioned, it sounds superficial in the beginning. Oh, I want to have a good relationship with my Father so I receive the benefits. It's okay. It's okay to be there. I want to be in this at my level. I've been doing this for 20 plus years. I'm going and I'm not holding myself. I'm not esteeming myself more highly than I'm all. I'm just trying to give you some perspective here that after 20 something years, I still want to be in this relationship with God to receive some benefits. I do. What I want, the benefits that I'm, what I'm considering benefits now is different than what I used to consider benefits. Before, when I was a new Christian, I was casting, and I'm like, Lord God, I'm working on my prayer life. Father, I was good today. Give me that 50-pound striper. Come on, Lord, you can do it. Come on. Command this fish of the sea, taking dominion over them. You know what I mean? What you want when you're a baby, what you consider the benefits of being in a relationship with God when you're a baby are different than when you're 20 years in. All right, let me just read a few scriptures to you. And I'm praying. I'm in a word wave. I'm curious, anybody else in a word wave right now? Have you ever gone through this where worship is where it's at? All I want to do is worship. I'm in worship. The anointing's in the worship. I just long, I hunger, thirst for worship. But the word, I do the word. It's kind of on the back shelf right now. Not so much feeling it, you know? But man, I'm in a word wave. Get ready for 1 Samuel. All right, we're going to have Bible study this summer. And I'm listening to 1 Samuel. And every word, I want to pause. It's like, oh, there's a message. Oh, I'm getting revelation in the word. I'm in a word wave right now. I don't care if I'm listening to Leviticus. It's like, whoa, such revelation coming. I didn't know he was begat by that, you know. It's just amazing when you're in a word wave. And so I'm in a word wave right now, and I just pray right now that as I'm reading a few scriptures to you, that you will be as blessed. These are our Heavenly Father scriptures. God is the Father from whom all fatherhood derives its name. Isn't that awesome? God is the Father from whom all fatherhood even derives its name. Ephesians 3:15. But while when he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is now alive. He was lost and is now found. Luke 15. Through Christ, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Are you glad to know that you have access to the Father? And let's just try to, I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit would bring revelation and the significance, the importance of that. You have access to your Father. Some people are brought up and their fathers travel the world and they never see their Father. They long, so it's injured their soul. They don't know what it's like to have access to their Father. You and I don't care where you are, if you're high, if you're low. I don't care if you're east or west. I don't care if you're sick or healthy. I don't care if you're rich or poor. I don't care in what condition you are. You have access to your Father. You can call on Him whenever and wherever you are. He is your Heavenly Father. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us, and in love He predestined us to be adopted as His children. Ephesians 1:3-5. This is important. And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 23:9. Why would God say that? He's a jealous God, yeah. My opinion, God is saying, recognize no one above me because I am the one who is able to truly be your Father. It's not I can't call you Father. Oops, I'll call you that. It's not a law. It's not like that. It's God saying to us, you can't trust and rely on any human being, I don't care if he's your natural father, to do what you need to have done. Your salvation, no one can save you like I can save you. Your deliverer, no one can deliver you like I can deliver you. Your provider, no one can provide for you like I can provide for you. Your protector, no one can protect you like I can protect you. I am your Father. Trust and rely on me, for I am able and worthy. I can do it.
Hallelujah.
And He wants us to rely on Him because He doesn't want us to rely on something else. Why? It's like stepping on, I'm getting this vision right now of a wooden bridge over a waterfall. It's like stepping on a rotten board. There's nothing rotten about God. You can step with both feet and jump up and down on it. He is trustworthy. Don't call anyone else Father. Your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask Him. How many been in a place where like, oh no, taxes are due? Have you ever been afraid about provision stuff? It's like, I don't know, I'm afraid. Your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask Him. And here Jesus, that was Matthew 6. And I will ask the Father, He'll give you another counselor or comforter to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. That's Jesus in John 14:16. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Matthew 7:11. Isn't that awesome? For those of us who have good dads, who have been so good to us and been such a great example, how much more? I'm going to have to cruise along a little bit here. Father to the fatherless, a defender to the widows, God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. Do you know anyone who's lonely? Anyone who's lonely? You have the answer. If someone ever came to you and said, I'm lonely, or if you know someone who's lonely, you have the answer. God wants to be your father, and he'll put you in a family. How many feel like we are a family? This is a wonderful family. I am not lonely. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 5:8-15. The spirit in you is crying, Abba, Father. The spirit in you recognizes your Father in heaven. Pray in the spirit, and you will begin to bring your level of relationship with your Heavenly Father to new places. Pray in the Spirit. The Spirit is crying out, Abba, Father. All right. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us that we should be called His children? And finally, that was 1 John 3:1. Now Ephesians 3. Now to the Father who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. How many are glad that he's able to do exceedingly above more? Your heavenly Father will bring you into a future that you can't even imagine. Our natural fathers can do their best. They can provide education and guidance. But your heavenly Father is the one who can bring you into a future that's immeasurable, unimaginable. All right. Do you know God as your Father? Yes. This was really important to me, that he will restore, Joel 2:25. He'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten. How many have wasted time? How many have wasted things? How many have had things destroyed and devoured in your life? Your heavenly Father is able to restore. You don't have to live the rest of your life as a half-eaten and devoured person. With a half-eaten, I can just see a Christian with all these munch holes in them, all devoured by locusts and stuff. You're not limping through the rest of your days. Your heavenly Father is able to restore the years that locusts have eaten.
Hallelujah.
We've wasted time, but he's able to multiply time. It's like that vision of the small amount being really having great effect. He gives you beauty for ashes. How many have been in the ash pile? You've been in mourning. You've suffered loss. God can give beauty for ashes. Your heavenly Father just wants to adorn you. He can turn your mourning into joy. Beauty for ashes, Isaiah 6:3. And your mourning to joy, Jeremiah 31. How many have ever been sad, crying, and your natural dad came to you and put a smile on your face? He typically did that by changing your perspective. He typically did that by changing what you were focusing on. You were focusing on the negative. Your heavenly Father can bring your mourning into joy. He can change you. He can do it through natural means, but he also can do it through supernatural means. So most importantly, even though your heavenly Father can do all these things and is all these things, most importantly, you'll get to know him and begin to not only experience his presence, but enjoy his life and nature in you and through you. This was the whole thrust of the message. This is the most important thing that I wanted to communicate. The benefit of walking with God and being his child and going through all the difficulty, all the discipline, is when you start to move in a way where you're really experiencing his presence, that's wonderful. But when you feel his love flowing through you to someone, that love is actually, it's his love. His love is in you. And it just wants to break out and it wants to reach that other person. You get to experience that. It's not like getting a package. If I gave this package to Lisa and say, Lisa, would you give this package to Charlotte? And you get to hold it and then give it, but you never get to open it. There's a certain privilege in that. But when I give this package and say, here you go, Lisa, and you open it up and you get to enjoy the blessing of opening that package and experiencing it, but then you go on and share it with Charlotte, then she gets to experience it. It's a different thing altogether. You get the blessing of God's love. When you are interceding for someone, you're praying, you feel tears coming up because you love them so much. It's God's love in you and through you. These are tremendous benefits.
Yes.
The joy of the Lord. You've never known love until you've experienced His love toward you in the precious times of intimacy. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had precious times in intimacy? I'm trusting that some of us experienced it this morning during worship. That's precious. Hallelujah. Important, big capital letters, never give up. The benefits are worth it. This intimacy with your Heavenly Father is worth it. Don't give up. We get discouraged. We fall down. We get off track. Don't give up. It's worth it. It's worth holding on to. And for the sake of time, we're going to wrap this up. Question before us is, how do you want to live your life? Don't miss out on having the best Father in the world. He truly wants to be our Father. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Lord God, help us to experience You as our Heavenly Father. Help us to come into a depth of relationship with You like we've never experienced before up to this point. Hallelujah. Lord, I trust right now for a release of healing to the soul. A depth of healing that goes down into those hidden places where natural man and the devil has attempted to injure us and hurt our opinion of fathers. Lord, right now I pray for a release of healing of the soul. Lord, if there's a festering splinter, I pray for a surgical move of the Holy Spirit right now to remove that splinter. Father, I pray for the balm of Gilead, hallelujah, to come on to those hidden places that have been burned and hurt, Lord God. I thank You for a move of the Holy Spirit into these areas, Lord, that will bring healing and soothing. Lord, I pray for a release of courage, that we are able to walk with You through this process of healing. And I thank You for revelation. I thank You, Lord, for revelation. Just as Peter was able to say, Thou art the Christ, that we would be able to say, You are my Father. I have access to You. I can call on You. I can trust You. I can rely on You. I can walk with You. I can laugh with You. I can cry with You. I can hug You. I can hold You. I can run back to You. But You are my Father, and You will never let me go. You will never leave me or forsake me. You love me more than I can imagine. Now as we move into a celebration of breaking bread together, sharing communion, we recognize that it's all because of Jesus. Jesus presented His hands and His feet. He allowed His body to be broken. He allowed His blood to flow from Him that we might have a Heavenly Father. Thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice. Let's eat and drink together.